This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's Curry with a high bounce.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Steph and Giannis doing the dang thing at the All-Star Game.
Oh, I thought it was from the future. 2026.
It might be. It might be.
You got a green check on your trade. You should be excited.
Thank you.
I told you. Peyton, Looney, and Kuminga for Giannis.
It's funny. I actually had a buddy yesterday who is a Dodger fan, and so he's been.
And he's still a buddy?
Yeah, whatever.
You better check yourself.
No, we go way back. You know this. I have family.
I know.
Who put those stupid hats on their heads. Listen, we don't get to choose everything in our life. All right?
Yeah.
But, you know, inner circle. I told you the story. There was the one time that Ella wanted to play T-ball, and that we still lived in Southern California, and she ended up on the Dodgers.
That's going to be a no from us.
I'm like, right? And then you get to the end of the season, and everyone's like, oh, we got to keep all the little clothes and put them away for safekeeping. I'm like, I'll take care of those. Hand me the Dodger jersey.
And the lighter fluid?
Gone.
Yeah.
We're not keeping that crap in my house.
It's a keepsake.
We're not keeping.
Ella's first jersey.
We're not contaminating the house by putting that crap in it. Now, if people I love want to put that stuff on their head or their face or whatever, I'm not that kind of a control freak. Do your thing. And if I find it in my heart to still love you, we'll try. Anyway, good college buddy. And he was talking the smack or whatever, and he referred to me as a journalist.
Okay. Fine.
He's like, I don't know what some Bay Area sports journalist thinks about this. And my entire response, my only comeback to him, was to put the word journalist in quotes and then a laughy emoji. That's it.
Right.
Just sent it back. Don't call me a journalist.
No, we're not journalists.
We're not journalists.
Like the people who go out there and cover the team, like Jake Hutchinson, who covers the Niners for
journalist.
Us. Hutch. He's a journalist.
Yes.
He goes to press conferences. He goes to practice. He asks the hard question. He reports on the team. He's a journalist. What you and I do is sports talk, which is entertainment. It's information. It's entertainment.
I hope.
It's a little bit of second tier journalism where we get news and we pass it along.
Yeah,
we're
obviously we, I don't even know if I want to say necessarily we're quote in the know. We can be if we want to be. Like, we're credentialed to be. We know all of these people. I talk to a lot of people, and that's kind of what I want to get across today. This is not a report of mine. I'm not a capologist, and I'm not a journalist. But I talked to people today who are. And so this is not just me with a computer going, hey, would you give up? No, this is like an actual thing. This is an actual thing that no one's reporting is going to happen, but more along the lines of this is probably pretty close to what it would take. Kuminga, Wiggins, GP2, Looney, 2 first-round picks. And for those of you who want to text in or tweet in or whatever, and be like, no way the Bucks would take that. The Bucks are not going to be in position. They're not going to be in the power position here. That's the beauty of, in my opinion, of what Mike Dunleavy has done so far. He has at least put the Warriors in position where they could be the power broker. If a team has an expiring star like a Jimmy Butler or an unhappy star like a Giannis, you want to reboot? Hey, give us a call. We got expiring. Yep. We got young talent.
You got everything you
we
need.
We got flexibility.
We got all of it. We got
Steph Curry.
Sure.
Like, we've got what you need.
Well, you're attractive. If Giannis wants to go somewhere and play with a star, or Jimmy Butler wants to go somewhere and play with a star, and I don't love the Jimmy Butler part of it because he's very volatile, but his deal is up a lot sooner than Giannis's is. So if you want to just play the game of Jimmy or Giannis, there are attractive things about the Jimmy Butler piece of it,
sure,
especially when you look at a team that is suddenly now refocused on defense. Jimmy Butler is a great defensive player, and if you still have Draymond Green and you have Jimmy Butler, then your defense all of a sudden is one of the better ones in the league, in my opinion, and Jimmy Butler is a guy who can go out there and score, and you'd still have Buddy Hield and the rest of it. So I'm not going to make this exclusively about Giannis, but today it's about Giannis.
It's kind of about
because
Giannis, yeah.
You know, all of the scuttlebutt and all the chatter is that, you know, if this continues and everybody now in the Bay Area rooting against Milwaukee, and you're hoping that they have a home-and-home against Cleveland tonight and I think on Sunday, and so if they drop them both and they're 1-6, then right, this drumbeat only gets louder come Monday.
Well, and one thing I think we do know, because this has been told to me everywhere, if the Warriors are interested in a trade, it's to aim big. Very, very big.
Yeah.
They're not interested in fact, I think they already believe that their roster is filled with tons of B-pluses. They already believe that. So they're not interested in acquiring, let's give you 3 B-pluses so we can have another B-plus.
An A-minus, yeah.
No.
I don't even know if they have B-pluses, but whatever you want to grade them as, they have probably 7 or 8 guys who are roughly the same, making between $7 and $10 million, and they're all interchangeably the same kind of player. Good. Rotational.
Right, but this is obviously mainly about Kuminga.
From the
perspective of an acquiring team, this is about Jonathan Kuminga, and the line that has us talking about this today from John Hollinger and Sam Amick is, while rival executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to include Kuminga in a trade of significant magnitude, the fact remains that they're setting their sights very high in terms of possible targets. Now straight to the phones for this hot Kuminga take.
I can't wait.
We go live to Palo Alto, where Peter is standing by.
PPA.
Hi, Pete. What are you doing?
Hi, guys. Hey, Willard, I'm a longtime fan, but I gotta disagree with you.
I knew there was a but.
I gotta disagree. Now, okay. I'm a longtime fan, even though Your father gave me a freaking C in 1981.
Oh, he did? Wait a minute.
Tom Willard shutting him down.
Tom Willard, who, by the way, Peter, I'm about to make you feel old, because Tom on November 1st?
Yep.
Okay, on Sunday, Tom is turning 82, Peter.
Dang.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Eat that, Peter.
He was talking about 1981, so Peter's no spring chicken either.
Hey, and what did you do to earn a C? Because my dad is like the nicest dude in the face of the earth.
I had horrible study habits, I got to admit. I didn't do my homework one time, God dang it.
All right,
still regret it.
Then don't get mad at him for giving you a C. It sounds like he could have given you worse.
Yeah, it might have been a gift.
All right. Glad we worked that out. Now, what do you disagree with, Peter? What'd I say?
I disagree with your whole take on Kuminga. All you have to do is watch the Warrior games, watch how Steve Kerr treats him. Steve Kerr is not a fan. They have no leverage. Everyone that watches knows he benched him a couple years ago during the playoffs, knows that he doesn't like. Kerr loves Pajemski. Pajemski is the antithesis of Kuminga. The Warriors are dying to get rid of Kuminga because he's all athlete. No basketball IQ. That's the problem.
Well, first of all, Peter,
I'm going to have to give your call a C. I'm going to be honest.
Peter, can you regurgitate what I said that you disagree with, though?
Well, you said that the Warriors, you didn't think that the Warriors didn't want to pay him, that they just wanted to have flexibility and leverage.
Okay, yes, Peter, all right. Like, what I think is that what you're saying is not totally wrong, but you're overstating it. You're overstating it. And Peter, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And my dad says hi.
And C's do get degrees, Peter. So you got that going for
you. He's still living, man. It sounds like he was driving around in a car. I'm assuming he bought it. So it worked out okay.
And he had your dad in class 43 years ago, so
good
that
Lord.
Would put him at about 60. So you hang in there, Peter, me and you both. There you have it.
Yeah, brighter days ahead.
And I don't think that the way that Steve Kerr is using Kuminga, for me, is indicative of a like or a dislike of Kuminga. What I'm seeing, and what I guarantee you will see leading up to the deadline, is a propping up of Kuminga. It's a use of Kuminga. It's a highlighting and a showcasing of Kuminga. And you saw the last two games against New Orleans. He came off the bench, and he played great.
Yep.
And they praised him, and he praised himself, because especially in the second game, he's doing the things that we all want him to do. He's going to the basket. He's scoring with finesse. He's dunking. He's hitting the mid-range. I think that they're going to give him every chance to look great heading up to February.
So that's what I meant by him overstating it. His statement was they're dying to get rid of him.
Right, no.
I don't feel that. But, again, the article, while rival executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to include Kuminga in a trade, there you go. And so, yes, Peter, I do think you're on to something. You're just overstating it. I do think the Warriors have questions about whether or not Kuminga is really going to pop to stardom someday. He's still 22. Then again, had him in the system for 4 years. So I do think they've got questions there. And I think they love Kuminga while he makes $7 million. That's my point.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think they love him on the team when he makes $7 million. But next year, do you love his production at $35 million?
Right.
And I don't think the Warriors are big on that idea.
I don't think so either. Yeah. And if they were, they would have found a way to pay him $35 million in an offseason contract because, you know, Kuminga wanted the max reportedly, and that was the end of the conversation. We didn't hear any back and forth about it.
888-957-9570. Coach Duran and Douglas, you stay right there. Rest of you, get online. 888-957-9570. The idea is Wiggins, Kuminga, Looney, GP2, two first-round picks. That gets you in a Giannis conversation. Are you in or are you out? We'll keep taking your calls. Plus, we'll tell you, coming up next, how exactly you can make good on your last chance this week to end up in Vegas with someone you like for free. Okay? All that's coming up next on Willard and Dib.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dib on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Dibs, I like your picks.
Yeah, you should. I'm hot.
Although, I was watching last night. Did y'all do that on Halloween? Did you go house to house and look through people's windows and be like, how's Aaron Rodgers doing? Did you do that creepy thing?
Yeah.
How's the game going in there? that first touchdown that wasn't a touchdown.
Oh, my God. I was still here for that. And I walked into the control room,
and
I look through the window, and I see the guy drop it, and, you know, Grandy's like, oh, that ball's out. And I look at Lucas, and Lucas goes, fade.
Do you know who that was? Do you remember his name?
Jerry Cooney.
No. That's Malachi Corley.
The next Deebo Samuel.
That was my draft crush. Do you remember?
Oh, that's right.
That was your guy. That was my guy.
Dude, memo to your guy.
Yes.
Here's how it goes. Cross goal line, celebrate, drop ball.
Then drop ball.
Not drop ball, cross goal line, celebrate.
First touchdown of his career.
Why are you dropping the ball, Malachi? That's one that goes in the trophy case at home.
But I did. I think like many of our listeners immediately think of you. I'm like, oh, there's some forces at work right now.
Yeah, dude, Lucas right away is like, fade.
At a certain point, it's like the Jets are just doing it on purpose.
Dude.
And both teams are just throwing mud at one another's faces for an hour and a half. And then finally, Joe Mixon goes in, and I'm just like, oh, for Christ. Because
I
was rooting for you last night.
You had vested interest.
I had some pretzels on the game.
You did.
I had a couple of peanut M&Ms. On the game last night, Jets -2.
Cash me out one time.
And so I'm like, what the hell's going on around here? And then the second half came, and Aaron Rodgers threw 3 touchdown passes, and 2 of them were to your fantasy team.
Yep.
And one of them was to mine.
Which was cool.
And they won by 8. And I was like, well, just look at everybody all happy.
Happy.
This is wonderful.
Happy as can be.
Yeah.
By the time I left here and got to the car, because I left here before I saw the resolution of the
Malachi goalie. Yes.
And by the time I walked 15 minutes to the car, get in the car and put it on the radio, we're still scoreless. And I was like, oh my God, the ball was out.
Dude, I didn't know. I was blind because I ran out of here.
You did.
And I'm walking through the streets.
My God.
I'm going to pull it up for you. This is the funniest thing. Because look, with your people, you can be mean in private. Do we all agree with that?
Yeah.
Your people, it's just not for real. It's people we don't even know. They're professional athletes. They play in New York. I don't know.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, I'm not going to I'm not going to meet Malachi Corley.
It's like your little brother.
Yeah.
Like you're allowed to make fun of him. No one else is.
I'm not going to go to Twitter and be like, what a... I'm not... But to your people in private. So this was the exchange. I'm walking home and... Where is it? Now I can't find it.
Oh, there it is. Awkward.
Okay, there it is. So we're texting, me and the lovely Christy, and I'm walking, one foot in front of the other. And the only text I get, it's 2 words, idiot Jets. And I'm blind. So I go, what did they do? And she says, finally, this rookie runs in for a touchdown and for celebration drops it before the ball crossed the plane. So, touchback for Houston. So sad. Showboating. And I wrote, dumbass. I don't call people that to their face. That's not my jam.
No.
I don't call people, you know what I mean? But it's okay to be mean to people just in with your text and with your lovely, right?
Yes,
okay.
Especially
it's
when
private.
You have a situation where the player kind of exhibits that characteristic.
I mean, dude.
It's a beautiful end around. You are untouched. You are coasting from the 10.
First career score.
All you have to do is score. And this is different than sometimes you see a player like dive and reach the ball out and they get slapped out and it's a touchback and it's like, well, that's not a smart play. We know this now. You may not like the rule, but you got to protect the football in and around the pylon just in case that happens. This man was untouched. All he had to do is take one more step and then do the, oh, I'm so good, I can't even hold this ball anymore.
It's too hot like me.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good Lord.
Anyway. I thought for sure the Jets were going to lose that game.
Oh, I'm like, oh, Divers, I'd never.
Totally
I'm,
fade.
I got to wait for him to make his picks from now on. This is ridiculous. Okay. 888-957-9570. Promise you the Vegas thing, and then we're going to the phones. The idea is, the concept is, and by the way, Dave McMenamin, ESPN's NBA reporter, is going to join us here in 20 minutes. So start to shed some light on what's actually going on behind the scenes in league circles. That's in 20 minutes. Dave McMenamin, ESPN. If the Warriors were to give up Kuminga, Wiggins, Looney, GP2, 2 first-round picks to get in on a Giannis conversation, are you in or are you out? Also, between 5 and 5:30 today, that is your last chance this week to get in on the Vegas soiree, okay? Two tickets to see the Scorpions, March 6th, PH Live, Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You also get two nights at the hotel. You also get airfare, round trip for two, on us. We'll give you a code word in that window, 5 to 5:30. By the way, lucky you, while you're listening for it, you also get to hear Hall of Famer Patrick Willis, who is going to join us on the show, okay? Listen for that code word. You text it to 20357. You're qualified, and hopefully with some luck, you end up winning the darn thing.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Let's go to Coach Duran in Union City. Hi, Coach. What's up?
Hey, Willard and Diaz, my two compadres. What's happening?
Come on, Coach. Let's do this thing.
All right. You'll dig this, man. Right now, Giannis trade, or if he signed with the Warriors, I am all in, gun blazing, full throttle, maximum effect. If there's somehow, some way Giannis comes to the Bay Area, I'm taking that deal instantly.
So you don't even care who the Warriors give up?
It does depend a little bit, but yeah. So CP2, Wiggins, Kuminga, Looney, if we have to give up those guys and a couple of draft picks, I'm all in for it. Giannis to the Bay Area, let's go.
Yeah.
I think that's
going to be the most popular response.
Probably.
Giannis to the Bay Area, let's go.
Well, I mean, look.
Short of trading Steph, and I don't think that Draymond would go, I think that anybody else and everybody else is possibly on the table.
It is funny. We've watched this in cities before. It's one of those things where people, because I think a right-thinking person could be like, hold on a second. You know, like, is this good for the future and all that? And they'll be like, I'm out. And then the second it happens, they're like, let's buy tickets. Like, you got to remember that this isn't just basketball. It's a show.
Right.
And Joe Lacob is thinking that way. And Giannis, he's a damn show. Like, you win championships by having those types of guys. And so when you factor that with Steph Curry not having a whole lot of time left, even if you think, this hurts a little bit or this isn't the smartest thing, I mean, put it this way. I think it's smarter than what they were trying to do last offseason.
Yes.
Paul George and Lauri Markkanen.
And I also think it's smarter than what the alternative is, which is do no bold moves, make nothing bold. Steph leaves, Draymond leaves, Wiggins, whatever. Everybody else slowly ages out and retires, and you're going to rebuild this thing with draft picks. That is such a long shot.
That's a long road.
Even look at San Antonio, who's trying to rebuild it with draft picks, and they got the number one pick, and they got Victor Wembanyama, and he looks really, really good, but does that mean he's going to lead you to a championship?
They're not winning basketball games.
And they probably won't be a playoff team this year.
Yeah.
So the rebuild is going to take a lot longer than just one number one overall pick.
888-957-9570. How about Douglas in Sunnyvale? Hey, Douglas, thank you for the call. What's up?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask if anybody had yet raised the issue of the similarity between a historic West Coast entrepreneur buyer of a basketball team who then makes a trade for a center, which is what we used to call fives. We used to call them centers. And he made a trade with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Indeed.
And that center came to the West Coast, and his name was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, so are you likening Joe Lacob to Dr. Jerry Buss? Is that what you're doing right now on this show, Douglas?
Well, except for the hair.
Well, there are a few other differences, too.
Yeah.
And the 17-year-olds in the... Anyway, but...
Yeah. And the butt.
Look.
And who did they trade? Who did they trade for him? A bunch of Schlebecks.
Well, that's how it works.
Bunch of Schlebecks.
That's how it
Thank
works.
Thank you for the second Schlebeck.
Yeah.
Schlemiel, Schlemazel,
wasn't
and Schlebeck.
The host of Jeopardy, right? Thank you, Douglas.
That's a
Appreciate
five.
It.
Rest in peace, Alex
rest in peace.
Schlebeck.
Schlebeck. Yeah, he
that's
was the
a
best.
Five.
Anyway,
really
that's,
good.
That's how it works. That's how it works. It's very rare. You know, let's go to the Anthony Davis trade. Okay, who did the Pelicans get? Now, you could say, well, they got Brandon Ingram. Okay? Yeah. First of all,
sorry.
Well, right. What has that gotten the Pelicans? And what else did the Pelicans get?
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball. How'd
and
that go?
Josh Hart. And they got the number 4 overall pick in the draft as well.
Okay.
So, 3 players and the number 4 pick. 3 first-round picks.
No Julius Randle? That wasn't part of that deal either?
I don't think so. I'm okay. Looking at ESPN.
It was? Luke is saying it was.
I'm reading from Woj right now.
Yeah, no, I think Dibs is right.
Lakers acquire Anthony Davis for 3 players and 3 firsts.
Okay. And what did we use those firsts? Did we use one of those firsts to get Zion Williamson?
Possibly.
Or was that their own first?
I'd have to look at exactly all the picks they got.
But anyway, my point...
I'm just looking at Davis for 3 players and 3 firsts.
My point being is that even though those players who went in the deal largely ended up being good players, Brandon Ingram's a good player. Josh Hart is a good player. He's now a good player for another team. And Lonzo Ball, obviously, I think he was a pretty good player, and now his career has been potentially ruined by injury.
Yep.
We'll see if he's able to mount a comeback. And I don't know exactly which first-round pick ended up being what. But the Pelicans...
Zion was the number 1 overall, which they had. They already had that.
Yes. Okay. So
the number 4 pick was DeAndre Hunter, which was then traded to Atlanta via New Orleans.
Okay.
And so, you know how these things always work. And then Jackson Hayes was drafted by Atlanta and traded to New Orleans, and so...
I mean, New Orleans has been, I would describe them as viable, I would describe them as sort of relevant, but by no stretch have they been competing for anything. Meantime, the Lakers won a bubble chip, and they've got LeBron and AD, and they went to another conference finals just a year ago, and so, like... understand that when the big name changes teams in the NBA, the team that gets the big name usually wins that deal. I'm not saying it always leads to a championship, but what you get in return is not dollar for dollar.
Especially when you've got a player like Anthony Davis who wanted out and he wanted to go to a certain place, and so that's kind of the way that went. And I don't know if Giannis will be in that same spot of trade me to Golden State or else. And if he is, well, then what you have to give up suddenly goes down a little bit as it compares to, you know, if he was just going to be thrown out there in the open market. And that part of it, Mark, is maybe the most fascinating piece for me is what will Giannis want? What is he going to look to do if he, in fact, does want to leave Milwaukee?
Can I run another test with you
on
this conversation? And by the way, we'll keep taking your calls. Dave McMenamin in 13 minutes, 888-957-9570. If the Warriors were to get into a Giannis conversation for Kuminga, Wiggins, Looney, GP2, and 2 first-round picks, are you in or are you out? Do you have any memory whatsoever? Because this is maybe the most recent one. Do you remember what the Suns gave up for Kevin Durant? This happened on February 9th, 2023. So a little bit over a year and a half ago. Kevin Durant goes to the Suns. Lucas, you can weigh in on this. Steven, if you remember, does anybody remember what was sent to Brooklyn for Kevin Durant?
I would imagine it was, you know, a variety of players and at least 3 first-round picks. That's what I'm remembering.
It was 4.
4?
4 future first-round picks.
And, like, all of their best players besides Devin Booker.
And those would be?
Mikal Bridges.
That's one. Doesn't play for them anymore.
Nope.
Go ahead. Next.
Cam Johnson.
Correct.
I believe Jay Crowder was in that deal.
Very good. Are you doing this from memory or are you Googling?
No, the wings. Okay. The wings. It was all their wings.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
And that's all it was.
Oh. And 4 unprotected first round picks and a swap in 2028. That swap is coming up in 4 years.
Love a good swap.
Now,
up in 4 years, we swap.
I'm going to acknowledge the unfairness of the conversation because of those 4 future unprotected picks. How many of them have happened? Any of them? Have any of them happened yet? Let's see. First round picks. Oh, yeah. First round picks in 2023, 25, 27, 29. So one of the 4 has happened. So I will acknowledge the unfairness of what I'm about to say. But how the Brooklyn Nets doing?
Well, they took Mikal Bridges and traded him for 5 first round picks.
Great. So now you've got
all them picks.
You got buckets of picks. And what would the Los Angeles Rams say to the Brooklyn Nets?
Make them picks. Or maybe they use a different 4-letter word in place of make.
F them picks.
Right.
Like, well, yeah, you've got them, and maybe 7 years from now you'll be Oklahoma City.
Well, Brooklyn this year.
Maybe.
In 2025, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 first-round picks.
Great.
26, they've got a pick. 27, they got 2 firsts. 28, they have 3 firsts.
Great.
29, they have 4 firsts. So I'm counting 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've got 13 first-round picks.
Sweet.
Over the course of the next 5 years.
Okay.
So in 2031, you watch out. They're going to be good now.
Great.
If you're like looking in the futures market, you want to buy net stock now.
Maybe.
Because up in 7 years, they're going to be elite.
Well, this is what the Thunder did. This is what Oklahoma City did.
And it's worked.
It's working.
It hasn't worked yet.
Correct.
Although, if you look at the biggest deal they made, it was not for a pick, but a player, and it was Gilgeous Alexander.
Right, but they
also got a boatload of picks.
Dude, and Chet, and they're filling it in, and
they're hitting, yes.
Yeah, they may well be the team this year, or next year, or whatever.
And that becomes interesting when you think about the Warriors and Joe Lacob. If, let's just say that they eventually acquired picks, and then did the Oklahoma City thing, which is stink for 4 years, and then start to really be good. I don't think that Joe Lacob wants to go that route.
I agree with you.
He would rather go this route of, I'm going to give up multiple assets to bring in a known commodity and try to do it now.
Absolutely. And by the way, there's a very, very big difference between the Thunder and the Warriors. One of them plays in Oklahoma. The other one plays in San Francisco. And that, I think, often dictates how you go about doing a rebuild. Oklahoma City, as you said, might be about to be really good. And what did it cost you? You'd been sitting here for 7 years waiting for this. Brooklyn, which is in New York for crying out loud, going up against the Knicks, literally sends the best player in this deal to the Knicks, and they're just picking up picks and picking up picks. And as you just said, we're hoping they're good in 2031. No Golden State fan wants to sit through that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have anything to do with that.
And the Thunder kind of turned it around a little sooner. They had 3 years where they didn't make the playoffs. They lost in the conference finals. Well, they lost in the finals way back in 2012. And then
that was when they still had their dudes, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But after that, they made the playoffs in 7 of 8 years. So they at least were in the mix.
Yes.
But they lost in the first round 4 consecutive years, and that's where in 2019/2020, that's when they kind of bottomed it out and started the whole thing over.
Well, yeah, they had lost Durant and then realized that Russell Westbrook can win MVPs,
but you're
not going to win games.
Right.
And then, yeah, Chris Paul, Paul George, blah, 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 all that stuff. They let Harden go, still a head-scratcher, but okay. But I just, like, I understand why certain teams in the NBA have to do this. The Warriors aren't one of them. And largely, when the star changes teams, so this is sort of a message to the people who are like, the Bucks will never do that. Yes, they will. Yes, they will, because they have to. And what they're going to want, you want picks, and you're going to get probably two players who have a future. And then
a couple of expiring.
And then you get into expiring and all of that stuff. So can Jonathan Kuminga on his own be the centerpiece of a major deal? No, but I do think he can be the headliner of the young asset players that another team receives.
That becomes the interesting piece of it, because I go back to the offseason where all we heard from, you know, all the reporters and other teams is that it's pods that teams want. Brandon Podziemski, who is more of a known commodity. Like, Jonathan Kuminga's upside is greater than Pods, but you also were going to have to pay him a lot sooner. Pods is under team control for 2 more years, this one and 2 more. So if you want to acquire him, you already kind of know what he's going to be. He's about 9 or 10 points a game, 5 or 6 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists. He's going to take a couple of charges. He's a high effort guy. He's going to be this player. Like, you kind of know what he is.
I think he could get better, though, too.
Of course.
Yeah,
I think he
could score more than 9 or 10 a game.
Right.
If he's,
I don't think he's ever going to be 18 or 19.
You're probably right.
I mean, by the time that happens, he's going to be off to Major League Baseball, and he's going to change careers. But,
can't wait.
You know, friend of the program.
Yep.
But I do think if you're going to acquire a guy, you might be more interested in that because of the cost control and a much smaller number.
You might, but the Warriors are going to be, for all those reasons you just said, the Warriors are going to be less interested interested in giving him up, and it's really hard to start matching salaries from a guy who makes very little. Like, I mean, he's a first-round pick, but what's his number this year? What is it, about?
About four, I
three
think.
And a half, yep. I think it's like $3.5 million. So, that becomes tough. So, and I know what you're referencing, which is kind of the rumors out of Utah, that they were more interested in Pajemski than Kuminga, but ... Danny Ainge. Like, I mean, Draymond even said it a couple of weeks ago. We missed out on Paul George, then we tried to get Markkanen, Danny Ainge started acting like Danny Ainge, we out. Because Danny Ainge does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At least in that situation, right. Which is just, he asks for the moon, and then, I don't know, once every 4 years, somebody gives it to him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to win the deal, and he's not going to lose the deal, especially to an in-conference team like that. Pod's making 3.5 this year, then it's 3.7, and then they just picked up his option for 5.7 2 years down the road. So that, for me, as an acquiring team, yeah, Kuminga's great. He's intriguing. I like the player, but the idea of giving him $35 million a year is daunting.
Well, and you have to package this the way I think the Warriors are probably packaging it. We as fans look at it and we're like, okay, you know, we think about Giannis in 3 more years, and then do you still get to keep Pods, and what will the Warriors look like in the post-Steph career? I honestly think that what drives the Warriors, can we win a championship doing this or not? Now.
Yeah.
Right now.
This year, next year, the year after.
Right.
That's
and
what
so
now is.
If you're
to me.
Giving up enough young players to where you're excited to acquire Giannis, but it weakens you in too many areas to still be a contender, you have to be very careful about that. You know, that's kind of what the Bucks did. It's kind of what the Bucks did in getting Dame Lillard. And now they're not even a good basketball team.
Yeah.
Not at this moment, at least. All right, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Dave McMenamin is going to join us coming up next. Bobby Valentine in a half hour. Yeah, the former baseball manager who apparently really good friends with the family of Zach Manassian. Manassian. The new GM of the Giants, which became official today. Patrick Willis is joining us in less than 2 hours. We're trying to send you to Vegas in less than 2 hours. You'd be crazy to leave. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now back to Willard. Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
That's a throwback.
It is. Yeah. Thank you, Chef. Get better soon. Steph Curry out tomorrow. D'Anthony Melton out tomorrow. Andrew Wiggins is probable. Blake Snell has opted out. Michael Conforto is officially a free agent.
Oh, boy.
Who else? Kurt Casale, officially a free agent.
Mm.
Mark Canha, officially a free agent.
Okay, big news out there.
Things are always a-changing, man.
Man, how are the Giants going to fill those shoes? He said with a chuckle, trying to get through it. Blake Snell is an interesting one,
sure.
But this one, to me, feels like I personally would file it under the file of good riddance, and not thanks for nothing.
Good riddance to Blake Snell?
Like,
that's interesting.
Couldn't even, like, make it into camp and
yeah,
couldn't even give a full year for $32 million?
They didn't even sign him until camp was almost over, but I get you. That's the job of Zach Manassian, the new Giants GM, and we'll have more on that coming up in about a half hour. But let's keep it with the Warriors and hoops, and excited to bring in on the River Islands guest line someone I haven't had a chance to talk to in quite some time, but does a great job covering the NBA for ESPN, and that is none other than Dave McMenamin. Hi, Dave. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Mark? Just another NBA season. Let's get it going.
That's right. We're five games in. Let's trade Giannis. What's the holdup? Come on, Dave. Come on. What's happening here?
You know, I will say, sometimes these reports come out of nowhere, and you do kind of raise an eyebrow and wonder what the motivation is here. But in this case, you look back at the comments that Giannis Antetokounmpo made on the record to the Athletics' Sam Amick during the preseason when they had their training camp out in California, basically saying, like, you never know. This is results-oriented business, and I could be traded. He kind of left the breadcrumbs for people to pick up on.
And if you think about it from those terms, I've always wondered about Giannis because he seems so loyal to the market, and then loyalty, as we saw with Dame Lillard, can eventually wane and dissipate. What do you think the chances are that he just grows tired of that situation and actually does want to play elsewhere?
Well, I think certainly you would already say he's checked off the loyalty box. He's played for the organization that drafted him for 10-plus years and delivered a championship. So I don't know in what realm of a Webster's definition of the word that we could say that if he was to go somewhere else, he would not have already shown his loyalty to the city of Milwaukee. Ownership had the franchise value spike. The city got a brand new arena out of the partnership of having Giannis there. And Bucks fans got some of the best basketball they've ever seen since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson were wearing Bucks uniforms. So all that, I think, is already in the loyalty bucket. To me, he's any professional who has tasted the champagne after winning the clinching game of the NBA Finals want to get back to that feeling. And they've been pretty stagnant as an organization ever since. And you look at the pieces around him, Brook Lopez is not getting any younger. Neither is Chris Middleton, who's barely been able to stay on the court. Look at some of the role players they've had. Grayson Allen, he was becoming one of the better three-point shooters and role players in the league. They can't retain him. They just haven't been able to kind of build around him ever since. And, listen, this is you look at LeBron James. He's got a lot of flack for it in the back half of his career going from one spot to another. But he could see that once an organization has kind of exhausted all of its resources in trying to keep a championship window open for so long, there's no more tricks they can pull. There's no more levers that they can try to enact in order to all of a sudden have more resources to continue to go for it. And sometimes you have to look at the landscape and say, well, this place, they got a ton of draft picks. They have some young talent. I can restart the process all over somewhere else.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. So, Dave, what's the list of teams? I know here in Warriors land, they certainly believe they would be one of the teams where it makes sense. They've got the assets to get into the conversation. They've maybe got the Giannis desire that would be needed. How long is the list of teams?
I'm not saying there is a list, right? So I'm not reporting on Giannis's potential desire to leave. Let's be clear. If you were to try to consider the type of places where Giannis would want to go, I think you'd say big market, considering all of his off-court business interests, would be something that would make sense. And organizations that have proven to be winners, that they know what it takes in order to put the pieces together from ownership to front office to coaching staff. And so certainly the Golden State Warriors would be a group that would satisfy that. I think you start to wonder, though, if the Warriors were to make a move in order to get him, what would it take to send out and what would be left? As great as Steph Curry is, borderline top 10 player of all time, he's on the back nine. So is Draymond Green. So what would be left for him to continue to win? Giannis is in year 12. We see LeBron, his prime extends to year 22. What is the runway for him in order to win over not just the next couple of years, but over, next 5 to 10 years? And I think it's kind of similar to when there was a report last year that the Warriors were considering trading for LeBron James. What were the pieces they could send to the Lakers to make that make sense? I think you're in the same boat now. As good as Trace Jackson Davis and Brandon Bojemski and Kuminga have looked at times as young prospects, is that the type of package that can get you a Giannis Antetokounmpo in his prime? I don't think so. And so, I'm not so sure that there's much of a conversation to be had there. I think you have to look at it, a team that's really well positioned to do it would be a team like OKC, who has untold amount of draft picks and some great young talent. So whereas maybe ideally Giannis would be like, I don't know about OKC as a market, but if you can convince him that you are best set up to win here, and certainly there's something has to be in it for Milwaukee, because Milwaukee can just trot Giannis out and continue to fill the seats. Whether they're contending or not, they need to have the package to keep them going to be able to reset on their own. And again, to me, it's going to be one of these teams that have a ton of draft picks that they could throw towards the Bucks to convince them to do it.
That just sent a shiver down my spine, the mention of OKC with Giannis, a team that's already stacked and looks like maybe the best in the West here in the early going. I do want to ask about just the construct of the Warriors roster, Dave, and they've got, I think, 9 players making between $5 and $12 million. Does that make them financially flexible enough to aggregate contracts and go after any one of these big guys, even if it's not Giannis?
Listen, again, it will take the enticement of draft picks, and then you also have to be dealing with teams that have the financial flexibility under the new CBA to not be in the second apron, where they're able to aggregate contracts or accept aggregated contracts in a deal. And so I think Golden State had a wonderful offseason. You lose a franchise legend in Klay Thompson, so on its face, that's going to take some wind out of your sails. But to be able to add Kyle Anderson, D'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, while obviously we mentioned those other guys who had good rookie seasons last year, Moody had a great offseason. He's looking good so far. Jonathan Kuminga accepting the role off the bench that clearly wasn't willing to take last year. The Warriors are in a great spot, in my estimation, not to feel the need to go for a major deal. And obviously they spent the offseason, wondering whether they would be able to pull off a major deal with Utah. They pivoted from that direction. I don't necessarily see the need for them to pivot back.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN, with us on Willard and Dibbs. Dave, what does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga?
It's a great question. I think the jury's still a bit out there. And obviously, he has the create a player body of what you would plug into a video game and I want to have a prototypical wing to be able to play two-way against the stars of the league, he has that, right? And it's just about the consistency piece for him as he matures in this league where we know he's capable of putting up 25, 10, and 5. But can he do that over the course of a week, over the course of a month, over the course of several months in leading a team? And that's still TBD. And if you aren't able to do it in a stable franchise like the Warriors, it makes you wonder, would he be able to do it better somewhere else? Because there aren't too many franchises out there that are viewed with the same reverence around the league as what the Warriors do day to day. And so, listen, there is value there, don't get me wrong, but I'm not so sure he's the type of player where, you know, the league, they're always looking for the next Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, where, you know, he was in with the Clippers and a young role player and becomes a star, or James Harden, young role player with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston gets him, becomes a star. Everybody's canvassing the league for a player like that. I'm not sure if Kuminga's done enough to convince enough front office people that he could be in that category.
Kuminga doesn't shoot the three very well, but he can be an explosive scorer. Is there another player in the league that you would liken his game to?
I don't know. I hadn't really pondered that before. No one kind of jumps off the page immediately while I'm thinking about it. I'd probably have to. That's some homework for me.
That's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Dave, but Mark and I were talking about wing players like Jonathan who don't necessarily shoot the three very well, and I was thinking about other players who are of that ilk, because Jonathan doesn't shoot it great from three, but he's showing an ability to score at the other two levels, and I was just wondering about other wing players who maybe don't shoot the three in this day and age where it seems like everyone shoots the three.
I mean, listen, like, you got to be elite defensively if you're going to really prove your value there, right? Because, or be really good at getting to the free throw line. So, because you need to have some way to find a offensive consistency while providing a plus value on the other end. I mean, a guy shooting 15% from three in today's league is borderline unplayable. You don't see starting centers that have that number. Now, of course, I'm not saying Kuminga is unplayable because he does do other intangibles, but it's hard to sell that as a player that another young building team could take out of one situation and say, you know, if we put a jet propulsion pack in his back, give him more minutes, give him more opportunity, give him a bigger role, he can become a legit star, because that's a glaring spot that's missing from his resume. Like, maybe you could say he's like a young Andre Iguodala, right, when he was in Philly, because he couldn't shoot it and he was athletic as all get out. But by the time he was contributing to winning teams in Denver and Golden State, he was a consistent three-point shooter.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we're talking with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. We have a Steph Curry and D'Anthony Melton injury update that we'll get to here in just a couple of minutes after we're chatting with Dave. Dave, how do you think the season plays out for Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
It's really TBD. I mean, listen, they're a team that, as we saw, they are dangerous so long as they are on the map. They made the NBA Finals a couple seasons ago as an eighth seed. Jimmy Butler missed way too many games for them last year to develop any sort of consistency, and by the time they made the playoffs, you didn't have Jimmy and you didn't have Terry Rozier, and, you know, how can you expect to win in that scenario? I look at the East, and much like the West, like, there are kind of 12 teams that you can talk yourself into. And so because of that, because of the stability of their front office, because of the great coaching of Eric Spoelstra, because Jimmy is the type of player, when the chips are down, you're going to believe in him. I think there's still a ton of opportunity then for them to be a tough out this year. At the same time, Miami didn't give him the extension he was looking for. And as we know, the business side of things, sometimes that is a sign of what's to come. And maybe that will be, you know, kind of laying the carpet out for his exit through a trade. But again, Jimmy's the type of player, if you're another franchise, you know, when we talk about Kuminga, okay, you point to he hasn't done it yet and the three-point shooting, et cetera, maybe why you'd be reticent. Jimmy, he's done it, but Jimmy is like a culture piece where he's only had success given all the keys to the franchise. Are you going to want to give him that at the stage that he is of his career, aging, injury prone, while looking for another deal? So needing all the touches and stuff that come with getting another contract? I don't know. And so I don't think he's a very easily tradable piece either.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That one is pretty complex. Dave, thanks for jumping in and helping us out today, man. Good to hear you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys.
There he goes.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.